from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
All right, well, you know what? On this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about penis theft. We're going to also be talking about soldiers being denied their rights.
To be atheists.
To be atheists. And we're also going to talk a little bit about some, some bombings happening in Somalia and that kind of stuff. And, of course, my closing rant, which I will keep a surprise.
Ooh.
And also a new feature. A new feature that will also keep a surprise near the end.
Okay, we're not telling it.
Not even telling what the new feature is.
We're test driving this thing. You don't know what it's going to be. Maybe awesome, maybe not.
It
I don't
might
know. We'll
really
see.
Fall flat, but we will see. Okay, to start off,
let me start this off because
okay. All right, sure.
You people are lucky that I am around because I actually forced Jake to come up here and record this show because if I had not, he would still be downstairs playing Grand Theft Auto 4.
It's true.
Which is what he has been doing for the past, since whenever the game came out.
Came out Tuesday.
It's ridiculous. This guy has been doing nothing but playing this game nonstop.
All right, it's true. You know what? The game is highly addictive. I've been waiting for this for like a whole year. You know, I play video games once in a while, but this has gotten pretty out of hand. But an interesting thing, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. There's a guy called Jack Thompson, and this is the granddaddy of the whole games are evil kind of thing. This guy's a lawyer, and he has tried countless times to try to repeal games, prevent them from being sold, give them classifications as being lewd and inappropriate so they couldn't legally be sold. In stores and stuff like that. And every time he's failed, and his new attempt, obviously, his new daddy is Grand Theft Auto 4, which he says is, you know, obviously degenerative, bad.
It is degenerative.
It is a little degenerative.
It is very degenerative. I have never seen a video game that is more vile than this. Basically, the only line they didn't cross, and this is what I picked up today, is there was actually a playground in the game, and I was like, are there kids? Can you run them over? And you were like, no, there were not. And I was like, well, at least that's one line they did not cross.
It's true. I mean, you would think that if they had crossed that one line that you could run over kids. I mean, it would be all over for them.
It really would. But let me just say that you can do everything else in this game. I'm talking about everything else. And it is really, really sick and degenerative. And I tell you what, you do not want your kids playing this game because it is fucked. That's all it is. It is definitely nice.
But you know what? Like, and here's the thing. And it almost seems like an anachronism for Jack Thompson, who fails to realize that, because he keeps saying, oh, you know, games are bad, games are this. And he fails to realize that the majority of game buyers are, well, guys our age. You know, I think he still thinks that it's 5-year-olds playing these kinds of games.
Yeah, but you also have to recognize the fact, like, I had I guess he was 10 years old at the time, a 10-year-old cousin that came over back when number 3 came out, and I had it on my computer, and he would nip downstairs and play that on my computer every chance that he got until my mom realized what he was up to and stopped him. So, I mean, you got to understand that, sure, it's lots of adults playing these games, but these kids still, I mean, it's all you can do when you're a kid, man. Especially nowadays with parents being paranoid, you're not allowed to go out and do anything. They keep you under lock and key.
That's what's so retarded, though. I mean, the more they keep you under lock and key, I think the more,
jaded you, more you go on the internet and spend all your time looking at people's vaginas.
It's sick. But I know I get a kick out of this Jack Thompson guy, mostly because I just find that he's yelling at the wall is how much effect he's having. He's just like, oh, you got to stop. And the industry keeps getting bigger and his voice keeps getting smaller. And he gets every single publicity stunt this man attempts to do, it just blows up in his face. I mean, do you remember a little way back he dared anyone to come out with a video game that was educational, failing to realize that there were dozens and he offered a $10,000 prize?
Dozens?
Well, probably more than that, actually. anyways, that there were already many that were released that met his criteria, and then he backed off from the whole thing saying it was just satire.
But the thing you got to understand, I mean, you can't look at Jack Thompson as an individual. You got to look at him as a representation. He's kind of like, you know how the Pope represents Christians? or something. Catholics. Whatever. Catholics. I don't care.
You're good. Hmm? What is this show again?
This is The Good Atheist. But guess this is the thing. You're the good atheist. I am the lazy atheist who doesn't care about all that stuff. That's the reason that I'm important, because I'm just that dude that's like, I don't care. As long as they don't try to take away my video games, keep me from having sex with whatever I want on my ding-dong, be it crazy vibrating googiggles or like condoms and whatever else. Whatever else. My business. Anyways.
You crazy.
I know. So what was I saying? Okay, this guy is a representation of everybody else. And while he might not have power, and he's basically boiled himself down to a complete mockery of a human being, there's still like many people out in government who just don't know what they're doing. They'll see this game and they'll be like, they'll just, you know, introduce a bill and it will pass. And next thing you know, we have no more games like this. And Jack Thompson will just be like, ha ha!
I win!
Exactly. And it doesn't matter that he had nothing to do with it in reality, but I mean, he's just a representation.
Maybe it's one of those cases, though, where you have like, you know, so much money, they make so much money that they can pay lobbyists to just pretty much kill the bill.
Who, Grand Theft Auto?
Guys? Get this. Rockstar, they estimate that they'll sell about 9 million copies of the game. That represents almost $500 million. You're telling me you can't spend half, you know, like, that shit trying to make sure that they don't ban your game? I mean, come on, that's a lot of bling.
I suppose so, but you also got to figure that these guys probably aren't as smart, and they haven't been around as long as, say, the oil lobbyists and this and that. I mean, it takes a while.
But you can just pay a lobbyist. You don't have to be smart. You give them 10 grand. I mean, you remember we were watching that Michael Moore show, and they paid 10 grand, so then in Congress they tried to institute a
TV Nation Day,
and it worked. And I think he spent only like 3 grand.
Yep.
And he got what he wanted, so come on. They just have to throw money at the problem. And, you know, knowing the American system, it will...
The American system, yeah. But remember that Rockstar has had tons of problems getting their games released out in the UK. I mean, Manhunt... I don't think Manhunt 2 ever came out in the UK.
No, I think you're thinking Australia.
Australia
is really bad. You know, they made a special version of this game,
yeah,
of Grand Theft Auto 4, actually, for Australia, because Australia just goes nuts.
But the UK, it's probably not as bad as Australia, but it's the same deal. So you got to understand, I mean, here's the issue, and this is why it ties into The Good Atheist. And when we started talking about what we were going to decide for our stupid opening story, and you were like, let's talk about how I'm playing this awesome game. I'm like, dude, you are addicted. But now we are talking about the idea of censorship, and it's the idea of morals and what we want. You know, these video games, it's a bit different from a movie, I suppose, in some ways, because you're really...
There's an interaction.
You're actively killing people, and you're actively running them over, and you're actively shooting them in the face, and you're actively throwing them off buildings, and doing all sorts of stuff. So it is kind of messed up. And it is in a format that basically... kids have one of these things down in the basement, and it's not difficult for them to get their hands on these things.
But you have to wonder, like... I was reading a study that found that if people were exposed to more pornography and more violent movies, instances of violent sex offenders and even violent crime would go down.
So you're saying that we should expose kids to pornography and violent film?
No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there's an interesting...
That would be awesome, Jake. That would be awesome. We could be the controversial atheist podcast.
We would be very controversial. No, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that there's kind of an interesting... other side to it, where someone's going to tell you, oh, you know, this kind of game encourages this behavior, but at the same time, you could use the same argument to say, well, rather than just encourages behavior, it diffuses that behavior, where already that behavior may exist in people, but now they have an outlet rather than just being like, I'm going to go out and do this. It's kind of like living vicariously through someone.
That's a terrible argument.
It's just as terrible as the argument saying that, you know, Grand Theft Auto is going to make me want to steal cars and shoot cops in the face. But that's the whole thing, too. Both arguments are ridiculous because they represent these extremes that you wouldn't expect anyone to actually... you know, fall into those categories.
I know, but it's not a relatively moderate thing to say that having young kids watching subversive things happen, it creates subversive thoughts.
And it's obviously within an environment in which they have no context. If you were to just give them Grand Theft Auto 4 and be like, go raise yourself, yes, you would probably have a problem in which they had no other social interaction. But the reality is that the outside world is still way too much of a strong influence, and a session with this is not going to make you into a psycho. And besides, people will get bored before that they really get totally dehumanized. Eventually, the game loses its appeal. Mm-hmm. And after that, they're just like, okay, time to move on to the next video game or the next activity.
Okay, well, here's my challenge to you. How about you make an article about it? You'll put it out there onto the shout wire, and then we'll come back and discuss this topic next week as a more thought-out thing, because we were just like, opening story, let's just throw it out there
and
have a quick discussion.
And then 10 minutes later, bam.
10 minutes later, we're like, you know what, this is going to be an argument for a while, because I don't want to argue that video games turn kids into evil psychopaths, because I don't believe that, but I also believe that there's got to be, the whole way that it's going has got to be changed, because...
It's getting the lines are getting blurry.
It's the games are getting more insane, and the locks are no good. It's like having guns lying all over the place, as far as I'm concerned. All
right, we'll deal with that another
guns
time.
Guns
that we're gonna,
kill brains.
We're gonna ask people to sort
and
of like
innocence
provide some of their
and childhood.
Okay, you're done. All right, it's time for the news segment. News
segment. You said you were going to add some sound effects.
I'm going to try to add that later.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes.
Or you're just going to place more Grand Theft Auto. Must play. Must kill.
I am a zombie. All right, first up, penis theft panics city. This police in Congo have arrested 13 suspected sorcerers accused of using black magic to steal or shrink men's penises. After a wave of panic and attempted lynching triggered by the alleged witchcraft. Now, there are apparently about 14 victims of whom were detained by police and who claim this. They were saying that the sorcerers were trying to touch them to make their genitals shrink and disappear, and that there were a number of witnesses that said that this was true. Congo police obviously is, at least some of the policemen are trying to say, I wish we could tell you that this was a joke, but people are actually really believing that. And there's a really strong kind of like current of people believing in this hoodoo BS.
Now here's the deal. Tell me a little bit about Congo here. Tell me if this is like some kind of rural backwoods thing going on, or if this is like downtown Congo. I don't know.
No, this is
actually, like New York. It's like Congo City in Congoland.
Well, this, it's actually strict. Well, here's the problem. In Congo, basically...
Everybody's crazy?
Yeah, everybody's pretty crazy.
Everybody.
But there's a... Forget about like the whole city versus the whole rural parts. If it was really the rural parts, you wouldn't have heard about it.
Yeah.
This is in major urban centers, but it's not just located in one urban center. The panic has actually spread across a large portion of the country just because they hear... Oh my God, some sorcerer shrunk my dick, and now everybody's in a panic.
Yeah.
I mean, it only took about 14 people to make that accusation, and then next thing you know, you have yourself a panic. So this is a nationwide panic of sorcerers stealing or shrinking your penis.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be the equivalent of like, an Amber Alert going to a Red Alert kind of thing in the States.
Now, do you consider this to be kind of like, I mean, let's take a look at, say, some of the scares that have gone on in North America, like, say, the War of the Worlds broadcast causing everybody to lose their minds and think that aliens were invading. Do you think that that's about an equivalent mindset for what's going on in Congo?
Well, you bring an interesting point where there has to be at least some... mechanism for you to fall for this type of thing, right? I mean, you look right before the War of the Worlds, kind of like Orson Welles reading it over the radio, but the fear was already present in a lot of the science fiction literature and kind of like this doomsday mentality that exists.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the States. If you were able to pull off a prank, the best prank to pull right now would probably be Rapture.
No.
People would fall for that if you were able to...
The best prank would be a terrorist attack. It wouldn't be the funniest, but it would be the best. I mean, the Rapture,
okay, that's true,
the
that's
Rapture
true.
Would get like your 60% of wackos, or probably 40 to 60 or whatever like that. But everybody will believe a terrorist attack.
I know, but their reaction would be a lot different, because if it's a terrorist attack, it's usually located somewhere. But a Rapture would be like a worldwide event here, though.
I know, but check this out. Tell me this. We all laugh at this Congo thing. I mean, on face value, we're like, man, these people in Congo are fucking stupid. But then you look at what happened in Chicago. Do you remember the Moonanite scare?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
They
that.
Had little circuit boards that were placed all over the city that were basically, they looked like light bright consoles with a little Moonanite alien
finger, right?
Giving the finger. And these things were hung. They were about the size of a piece of paper, and they were hung, like 50 or 60 of them were spread out across the city. And everybody lost their mind because the police thought they were bombs, and they shut down the city, and it cost like... like
$6 million.
$6 million worth of resources were gone to fight the Moonanite scare, and this was all a promotion for a movie called Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is about a talking milkshake and a character named Meat Wad, which is a wad of meat.
Oh, and don't forget the one that's like fries.
Frylock. Frylock.
Well, you know, that's a great point, because when
so
you compare
shame
the
on
two,
us.
Well,
shame on us.
It's not shame on us. It's sort of like the modern day superstition of the boogeyman as the terrorist. That hasn't changed. I mean, if you look at the way that he's depicted, you know, you strike at any point, he's there to kill your families. And it's not different at all from this sort of penis scare. The only difference is that this sounds comical because it's genitalia. And anytime you have any genitalia, everybody thinks it's always fucking hilarious. All right? It would be like somebody going around be like, they're making my titties shrink. You know, it would be funny. We would laugh at that. But at the same time, you know, we can't just deride them saying, oh, these people are silly. They have all these silly beliefs. Well, we're just, our beliefs may just be as silly, but they're rooted in the same mechanism.
I know, but we gotta say that mechanism is stupid.
It is stupid. It is a crappy mechanism. We should try to get a little smarter here, people.
I'm just trying to remember the last time this mechanism did anything but make us all look very foolish.
Well, it makes sense when you live in a world with tigers and, you know, saber-tooth tigers.
A tsunami is coming. You're like, yeah, right.
That's a time where skepticism is probably bad.
Yeah.
Be like, why don't I listen to this guy? What do I have to lose? Well, let's see. I could lose my life. So, I mean, you can kind
of
understand.
Or my penis.
Or my penis. And you can kind of understand how the two, at least for guys, are really similar. If I lost my penis, you know, I'm thinking maybe gun to my head, you know? You'd think that, at least for a few minutes.
Suicide is wrong, so says God.
All right, let's go to the other news piece. An atheist soldier sues government. Jeremy Hall has filed a lawsuit alleging that he's been harassed and his constitutional rights have been violated because he doesn't believe in God. One of the times where he got harassed, according to him, was when he tried to organize a meeting with fellow atheists while he was stationed in Iraq. And apparently he also gets derided and abused by some of the other soldiers who have found out that he's an atheist. And so he's brought to court, and he's brought his superior officer, he's bringing him to court.
There is no way they will ever be able to stop that. You know why? Because an atheist, they say, what's that saying? No atheists in foxholes.
There are no atheists.
You know why? Because the non-atheists will throw the atheist out because they think he's bad luck. Like, there is nothing worse than an atheist in your midst when you are getting shot at, who's just telling you, we die, we don't go nowhere, it's just warm food from here.
Be like, God's not on our side.
That's what he literally said. That's what this guy literally said is, I don't believe in God. I think when we die, we just turn into worm food. I'm like, this is not a popular
view
when you are being shot at and bombed.
But that's not the reason why they say that. The reason why they say that is that when you're stuck in a foxhole and there are bombs going all around, you're going to believe in God because you're going to take that Pascal's wager kind of thing. I might as well believe now because I got nothing to lose.
Yeah, it's because only, like, please, dear God, don't let, because it's better than rolling a die. But you know what? I say a die is better because if you read the Bible, God is an asshole.
He will punish you and burn you in hell.
Exactly. It's like you might survive, but you get home and your wife is a pillar of salt something.
Let me tell you, it's not just that. Be like, if I'm in a fucking foxhole, I'm not going to spend my entire time praying. I'm going to try to figure out how to get out of there. I mean, if you keep on waiting for God to do something, he ain't going to come. You ever heard that joke where there's a guy, he's on his roof, and there's a flood, and all of a sudden he prays. He's like, Lord, please deliver me. And all of a sudden a boat comes by, and he's like, buddy, get on the boat. He's like, I'm waiting for God to rescue me. And then a little bit later, a helicopter comes by, and they're like, hop in the helicopter. He's like, I can't. I'm waiting for God to rescue me. And all of a sudden the stupid asshole drowns, and then he goes to heaven. He's like, why did you rescue me? He's like, I sent a boat and a helicopter, stupid. It's kind of like that whole thing. If you spend your whole time praying, you kind of miss your opportunity, probably, to get out of the box.
You know what's funny? That joke actually was invented by theists, like religious people, basically saying, you know, do for yourself. Don't wait for God to do this stuff, because they also agree on the general idea that waiting for God is stupid.
Is you're gonna wait a while?
Exactly.
It's like the Dead Sea Scrolls. There were these hardcore. I think they were. What were they? What did they believe? Anyways, I don't know. They were either Jews or Christians, but what they basically, they lived in caves, and they believed that they were going to participate in a battle, and God was going to come down, and He was going to save them. I believe they were fighting the Romans, So they sent they sent every person, man, woman, and child, to the battlefield, thinking that in the midst of it, God would come down and lay the smack down. They all died. That's why the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. No one lived. They all were slaughtered because they just were expecting somebody to come by, God, presumably, and to lay the sword of heaven on the enemies, and that did not go so well.
Mm.
So, you know what? Maybe there are no atheists in Foxhole, but, you know, it's like, who is it? Sinbad said, I believe in God, but, you know, still tie your camel kind of a thing.
Yeah. Now, back to this dude. He can sue all he wants.
It's not gonna do shit.
Yeah, this is the whole problem. Is that basically? I mean, when you get down to it, it's not like he's basically saying that the army is violating his rights. But the truth of the matter is, it's just individuals, and it's like, you know, those conspiracy theories that think there's this grand council back in the you know, behind the curtains playing all the strings. It's like, no, there's not. It's just individual.
They just don't like you.
Individual people. Doing singularly bad things that just add up to a pattern of oppression, and it's a terrible thing, and it's you know, and it's got to be dealt with, but it's only going to be dealt with over time and not through lawsuits. I hate these people who try and sue and do these lawsuit things, because it's like, man, you're just going to piss everyone off.
The purpose of a lawsuit isn't to sort of like necessarily have any financial gain. Sometimes it's just to, you know, at least have some publicity or enough publicity so that people can pay attention.
Or that policies can be changed, and, I suppose, exactly. In the army. So at the very least, there is another avenue rather than a lawsuit. Okay, I will agree
him the benefit of the doubt, because one of the other things that he was saying is that he was denied promotion on a number of occasions simply because he doesn't believe, which could be very true.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about it many times. Is the idea, want to be president of the United States and don't believe in God? You better keep that to yourself.
Yeah, you better shut your hole.
It's like, if you don't have a pastor, you haven't had a pastor for 20 years, it's like, you ain't going to become the president. It's
you better
like,
fake it. You like better that, go that to is, church for is, the next 10 years.
That is a question. It's like, right now, you know, like every single candidate, it's like, who is your pastor? It's like, I've never heard that question before. So it's like, we're walking backwards here. The atheist movement is going backwards, because now more than ever, people care about what your pastor thinks to like this crazy extent. It's like, man, God, this is so terrible that they're trying to choose the president of the United States based on who his priest is. Ugh.
Yeah, well, you know, I can.
You're
I can,
doing a bad job, Jacob. You're supposed to be changing things.
I'm having a hard time. Every fucking atheist is like, we don't want to organize. You were like that at the beginning too, weren't you? Weren't you? You were part of the problem.
Good atheist, lazy atheist.
Well, so you're lazy. So what? I'll set up the stupid meetings. You just have to show up. How about that?
Lazy.
That is very lazy. I'm lazy, but I'm passionate.
You know what? I'm doing a podcast. That's more than many of these, more than many other atheists, more than you listeners do.
Jeez, stop accusing our listeners, bro.
I like our listeners. One of them sent me an email. I got to respond back. I'll write you back like tomorrow, babe.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, you're going to send her a naughty thing, too, right?
I've got naughty photos, but I was like, you know, it's like one of those things where, like, haha, you send me naughty, and then I do it, and she's like, sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
The pictures are graphic.
So, yeah, you know who you are. If you really want to see the graphic photos of Ryan, you just have to ask. All right, the other item of the news, last item of the news, is that the U.S. has bombed suspected Al-Qaeda home in Somalia, killing 11 people. The U.S. claims that Aden Hashi Aero, I can't even pronounce it, was the leader of a fundamentalist group in Somalia called the Somalian Union of Islamic Courts, which controls much of southern and central Somalia. Now, for those of you that don't know, basically these guys like to cause a lot of shit in neighboring Ethiopia to destabilize them, and it seems as though the U.S. has decided to take out one of these guys. Now, he's not exactly a political... He wasn't exactly a political Al-Qaeda member. More of a low-ranking soldier that was a little camera shy.
No.
The problem is the collateral damage that has been caused by this bomb, where a lot of people got hurt. A lot more, like, there was 11 killed, but there was a lot more people badly burned, and it looks really bad.
It's like any time like a building falls over in Somalia, it kills like 200 people. So when you drop a bomb, and I'm not talking like people don't understand how big these bombs.
I know they think, and what they think do, it's a grenade.
It's like they watch Hollywood movies and they're like, wow. It's like when a bomb goes off in Somalia, it is not pretty, and it's not lots of flames flying. It's just a lot of shrapnel and rocks and things that.
Things that burn
and cut off limbs and do all sorts of horrible things, and you die 3 weeks later in the dirty hospital. It's very not
happy. Death count will obviously keep going.
So they killed 11 alleged terrorists, and now probably they have probably 500 new Al-Qaeda members that hate America.
That's the whole
guts.
Thing. The response of the group was that they were going to make serious retaliations, and I can only guess as to what they're going to do now. And this is the funny thing about American policy when it comes to sort of terrorists. They've decided that they're going to take the really hard stance. They're like, you're a terrorist or you're a suspected terrorist, we will bomb the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any of these people afraid to become terrorists. If anything, it emboldens them. They're like, fucking A. And does anyone want an excuse to hate them? How about the fact they killed my uncle?
Okay, Mr. Potty Mouth. This isn't some football game.
Shut your mouth.
Here's the thing. Here's one thing that I want to make very clear. I don't know about you. Maybe you're a cowardly liberal. I actually want to kill these people too. I just think the dropping bombs on them is really stupid.
Look, I didn't say you're gonna give them pillows.
Here's the thing. Let's imagine this as one of those Visa commercials, like flying out a bomb or plane. $50,000. Dropping this bomb. The bomb is like $70,000. Killing lots and lots of innocent people, creating a whole new batch of terrorists and all of their family, and there's like 30 people in every family, and now everyone hates America. Priceless. It's like, it's there are other ways to deal with these things. It's like, I hate these scenarios where like we got to fight them. I'm like, I agree, we do have to fight them, but let's be a little bit smarter about this. Let's, you know, at the very least, put some money in there, get some Somalis to go and kill this guy and assassinate him or do something like that, and at least make it so it's not like an American plane dropping an American bomb and it's like an American flag on the side.
That's the thing that's very different. In the old days, you used to get these CIA guys and they'd kill you and you never even heard about it.
Yeah.
Bam, you're dead. And, you know, as much as I hate that covert shit, it makes a pretty good movie. But still, I mean, you're right. I mean, If these guys are really quite dangerous, do I have a problem with them getting the old CIA treatment? I don't know. It's really a very, very tricky question. But
morally, ethically, and practically, this is the whole thing.
You
really have to look at it from all the different angles and stuff. And this is the funny thing, actually, and just to tie it a little bit into religion, but it's funny. A lot of the people who are very, like, you know, bang the war drum and stuff are religious people. And it's kind of ironic that they just take it to the idea of they're trying to kill us, so we kill them. But, I mean, from a moral standpoint for me, it's like I actually, you know, constantly think about what's happening and how many people are dying and what's the collateral damage and this and that. And this is actually something that I think atheists are a little bit more concerned about, or at least in my view.
Well, there's that point where all of a sudden, if everyone isn't a product of their religion, you have to see everybody as being equally human rather than being dehumanized by their religious beliefs.
Mm.
So, you know, I take a look at this guy, and simply because he's, you know, Al-Qaeda member, is he less human? Is he less deserving of life than me? And that's a tricky question. Now, if he's trying to kill me, then my response would be like, I'm going to kill you.
Mm.
But at the same time, I mean, it's not like every single person who's ever been a fundamentalist can't not be fundamentalist anymore. It's not as though when you cross that line, it's impossible for you to come back. But there are certain times where it does become impossible. If you're right on that edge of being like, well, maybe I do, maybe I shouldn't, I don't want to kill anybody, I just want, you know, the right to believe in what I have to believe in. I don't want these people in my country. And all of a sudden, you hear a plane drop a bomb and your little sister gets fried. Now you're over that edge and there is nothing you can do to bring them back. There's nothing. I mean, this person now wants blood and they will be blood drunk forever.
Mm-hmm.
What are we causing? I mean, You were talking about prices too. I mean, these guys operate on a budget of $20 a freaking year or something ridiculous. You know, they don't even need money. All they are fueled by absolute hatred. And why do we decide that we're going to keep fueling them? There has to be a better way. And the brazen way in which they're doing it now—they're just so brazen. They don't even care. They're like they're stamping the bombs. They're leaving little flyers. We was here. We burned you to the ground. I'm just like, you guys are idiots. I mean, if you're really going to have to do it, just blame the French or something. Blame someone else. But to be so it just boggles my mind. Boggles my mind. Anything else you want to say about these guys?
Death is bad.
Death is bad. Okay, we're going to... I just want to go on my rant here for just a second. So I want to talk about Paranormal State. Now, for those of you that are uninitiated with this crappy show, basically it's a show on A&E. In which this one guy decided that he was going to start a paranormal group because, according to his deluded mind, he was being haunted as a child, and now he wants to go around and just pretend to play detective. Now, I'm going to talk about the good points of the show. It's kind of like shot in a documentary-style way with a lot of production value, and that's the positive thing. There's good production value. They have nice and creepy music, a la, you know, Unsolved Mysteries. Boop, 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 boop. And, they have good cuts. Like, they're always keeping things fast-paced. Cut, cut, cut.
Tight,
fade
tight,
out,
tight.
Fade out. Tight, tight, tight. So they probably take, like, 30 hours and condense it to, like, half an hour. That's the good thing about this show. Now, I want to talk about the major problems. Now, these guys, these clowns are going ghost hunting or looking for the Mothman or all this other bullshit. Now, problem number one, they don't even try to put any science in the show. I mean, I've seen these other ghost hunters. They show up with a whole bunch of, like, these little detector thingies, majiggies.
It's like 45 minutes of no readings whatsoever.
They're like, oh, shit, it got cold over there. Like, take a reading. And then they bring cameras and they're taking pictures.
There was a breeze.
So there's not even any pseudoscience. They're just coming over and all they're doing is they're talking to people and they bring in the psychic. This is the number two point. They bring in possibly the most annoying psychic with the worst lisp. I don't even know where this guy comes from. I mean, he's so annoying that even the host of the show looks like he can't stand him. I mean, at the beginning, he didn't even want this guy on because he felt that was a little too much. But the producers were like, we need a freaking psychic because you ain't got anything.
This guy is over the hizzy.
So this guy's walking into, he's at an insane asylum one episode, and he's like, oh, the noises, I just wish they stopped. They're yelling at me, stop. And he's like, he's adding the only drama to the show because everyone, and this is the third problem, is as wooden as a board. I mean, they're so boring. Some of these morons, and they're like, I don't know how old they are. They're probably like in their early 20s. Very early 20s. They look like they're scared of the camera. I mean, they're just standing there. They don't say one word. And they're just looking away from the camera. They have no charisma. Why they're even on there, I don't know. Maybe they're the most gullible people that have a pseudo, university degree. I don't even know. Now, the other problem, too, the obvious problem, is they're always doing the whole shaky cam and turning the camera, being like, did you see that? And obviously, did you see that? It was right off camera. You missed it. Oh, what a surprise. I mean, here's a novel idea. Get three cameras. You know what I mean? You'll never miss anything. Pan out. Mm-hmm. Maybe later you can zoom in, but of course you don't want to do that. That would just be like, oh, I don't know, almost too realistic. It would prevent you from, you know, having anything. The other annoying thing, I mean, why do they got to keep running? Why do everybody have to go into a corner, run, try to scare the shit out of each other and be like, whoa, that was intense. Just because you're making a lot of noise and music's playing in the background doesn't mean it's intense. I mean, take away the music, take away the cuts. What do you got? A bunch of stupid kids trying to scare each other? It's a campfire, like, ghost story is what it is. This just boggles my mind. You have anything to say about this piece of shit?
Yeah, you really suck the fun out of everything. And that's the reason why no one likes atheists. That show is stupid and awesomely fun, but it's
how good. Is it fun? It's just fun. Annoying
it
to watch.
It is good, harmless fun. I mean, the show is a horror show. It's trying to creep you out.
No,
it's like at the beginning of Amityville Horror. This is based on a true story. At the beginning of
that's
when
I hate that shit. Anytime you try to make it like a based on a true story, it's like the fucking Exorcism of Emily Rose, right? Where they tried to sell it, she was seeing demons. This was a girl that had a mental problem. They did an exorcism on her and she died. This is how irresponsible they are. They decide to make a movie to glorify the exorcism. This is why I get pissed. I mean, I love X-Files. Like, I watched X-Files. I like it. When it was fiction, we could all agree we could enjoy it. But when these assholes are pretending that it's real, that's when I get fucking pissed.
But here's the funny thing. Back in the day, the X-Files had this kind of shady thing around them where the stories from the X-Files were based on things that really happened.
Nobody really gave a crap about that.
No one gives a crap about this paranormal thing.
Absolutely
do. You're getting all up in arms. You're getting your undies in such a bunch. Like twist factor five. That it's like, it's not like at the end of the show they're like, help us investigate, call this 1-900 number and give us money.
They're one step away from that shit.
Yeah, they're one step away, and that means they're on that edge. And I'm like, you know what? I am down with your outrage. You can have that.
Oh, I'm gonna
have fun with that. But I enjoy these movies. I enjoy these kinds of shows. And I don't enjoy them because I think they're real. I just enjoy them because they're fun.
I know, but
they are spooky. It's like you sit there and you delude yourself into thinking about it. And the thing about it is, anybody that falls for this stuff is so credulous. They're never gonna come over to the other side. These people here,
What are you talking? You're. It's like I can't believe how elitist you are when it comes to that shit. You're like, you're lost. If you believe in that, you're lost. Hell, I used to believe in that shit. Maybe that's why I get a little uppity. Because
when you were like 10.
No, not when I was 10. When I was 18, I believed in that shit. I did. And I was caught up in the whole thing because it was just like, once you get... And that's the thing. Once you get caught up in this...
This is why you're angry. You're angry because they got you.
No, I'm
angry. Back in the day, they got you.
Shut up. The reason I'm angry is just because they exploit like this... I guess the unknown. You know, sometimes you just get curious about the world that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And... people give you false information. This show is just about false information. If you think it's just about entertainment, it would be more entertaining, okay? It's really not that entertaining at all.
So long as it doesn't get into that crossing over John Edward.
But that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, with the whole psychic saying like, oh, I can see the Indian, this is an Indian burial ground, or these people are screaming at me. And if you don't think that people are actually literally believing that this is happening, you're an idiot. I mean, they are willfully being dishonest about everything that they do on that show. And that's my problem. It's not about entertainment value, at least for them. They sell their shit based on the fact that they pretend that they're real. But as soon as you pretend that you're real, you're going to get an asshole like me that's going to tell you, you suck, and these are the following reasons why you suck. Go to hell.
Okay, I concede. But I also say that you do blow it out of the water a little bit because you are upset at being duped for being a child.
I was, in my infantile mind, duped.
Your infantile 18-year-old mind.
You know, it happens. Hell, I used to believe in the conspiracy theory of JFK's assassination until I started really reading into it. But I wouldn't want them to do a show glorifying that either. I mean, if you're really going to pretend...
What about a three-hour movie from Oliver Stone?
Yeah, I know. I watched that movie, and I read the book that the movie was based on. That's why I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here was a credible guy who basically was, you know, he's a district attorney for Louisiana, wrote a book about it. I mean, right away, you're thinking, why would this guy ever want to make this shit up, right? And I don't think that the guys from Paranormal State are necessarily... you know, they're lying to themselves more than they are lying to us. This is why, you know, you got to grab them by the freaking collar and slap them around and be like, wake up, you moron. Making shit up.
Wake up. It's all fake. Okay, show's over. See you later. Everybody's unemployed.
Well, they're going to school. Why doesn't he learn something? You know, he's ruining his education at Penn State. It's a good university.
I'd be pretty upset if I was Penn State because it's like it's the Penn State.
I know that's why they changed the name.
I want to start like the Penn State Masturbatory Clinic,
the NAMBLA Group.
Exactly.
Yeah, they actually Penn State was not too pleased with it.
Okay, let's keep this rolling.
All right. Well, the surprise new feature is moments in idiocy.
Now, just before we continue on this, Jake told me about this, and I was like, seems a little bit, I don't know, negative.
It's actually just to have a little bit of fun. See, what I want to do is I want to talk about anything that's really stupid that just appears, just to kind of leave the show on a really fun, lighter note.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that we can laugh at how stupid the species we are sometimes. Because I could point fingers and say, oh, it's this guy that's stupid. But really, we have to take responsibility. I mean, we're all part of this human family. If you do something stupid, you make all of us look stupid. Mm-hmm. And this week, for the first time, we have a very special... winner. Because here's what I'd like. I'd like, if this is a popular feature, I'd like it that we nominate who is the stupidest person of the year. So starting from today, we're going to keep these people all in check, and then we're going to have like a little bit of a survey saying which of these represents the greatest moment in idiocy. What do you think?
I like it. I could tie it in. Like, at first I was like, what does this have to do with atheism? But I suppose atheism is about the idea of rational thought and about thinking things through and about not being really stupid.
Not being an idiot. How about that one? All right, speaking of idiot, let's talk about Charles Ray Fuller, a 21-year-old man from Dallas, Texas, who went to the bank to try to pass a $360 billion check, who he claims was from his girlfriend's mother to help him start a new record label. $360 billion. How did he even fit all those zeros on the fake check he was trying to write? What was he thinking? That the bank would be all like, that's cool. Let's just open the coffers. There's $360 billion just sitting right here. I mean, was he like going, putting a couple zeros? He was like 3,600. Nah, you know what? Yeah, 36,000. No, no, no. 360,000. Now all of a sudden he was like, fuck that noise. I'm going to go crazy. Like, let's keep putting zeros. Woo! Until he ran out of ink or something. 360 billion.
Not the brightest bulb in the shed.
Yeah, he's facing, I think, 5 years in jail for that little bit of fraud. I mean, you'd even think that when someone's that stupid, I mean, you don't even send him to jail because he's just going to get owned. I mean, it's a crime so idiotic that it requires a special prison, I think.
What I want to know is whether or not that that guy's girlfriend, because it was her mom that he tried to, that he stole the
check from. They tried to defraud, right?
I wonder if she's still with him.
They are not dating.
No?
And as far as I read from the article, they haven't been dating for a while.
Oh, okay.
So it would kind of explain why he's trying to defraud the mother for $360 billion. Mm-hmm. I wonder what she does. You know, must be a very lucrative job.
For him to think that she has that much.
I think it represents about six times the fortune of Warren Buffett, and the world's richest man as of this month. He's richer than Bill Gates. He has about $60 billion. So that's six times what he has.
He's got to go date his daughter.
I
don't know.
I think it would probably have to be granddaughter because he's like in his
80s. I like the older ladies. They appreciate
they
me.
Buy me watches. Tons of watches. This is how older women pay younger men in watches, not money.
Well, we're arm candy. We have to look pretty.
Yeah, we need nice watches, like giant watches.
Exactly.
That tell time in like Switzerland and the moon and Saturn. What time is it on Saturn right now?
I think it's time for the show to end.
I think so. So, all right. That was our moments in idiocy. That was our last little segment. And we will catch all of you for a new episode of The Good Atheist.
Next week, if I can force him off of his Killer Rage robot video game.
I think I'm going to be done by then. I mean, video games have a lifespan, man.